It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today we're going to take a look at the must-draft guys from the new rookie class. That's right, the NFL draft is over. It's in the books. You can go back and watch all of our live reactions on our YouTube channel, or you can check out the condensed versions we have for you on the podcast platforms of day one, of day two. We got it all out there for you, and today we're going to talk about, by each position, some of the guys who are looking to target in 2023. To help me do it, of course, Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pot Energy, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, and you. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel over at Fantasy Pros and click that little bell till it goes ding, because we've got amazing content for you 365 days a year, pretty much, or at least it feels like it. So let's talk about the 1-1, because this is my dude. All these fantasy assets we have out here are varying ranges of usefulness in 2023 and beyond, but there's one guy that stands out like a bright shining diamond, and his name is Bijan Robinson, and the Atlanta Falcons are the team that drafted him. Now, Derek Brown, I'm going to start with you. I am not a hot take guy. This is not who I am. I've never been this way. There's only been two rookie running backs that in all my years that I've had ranked in the first round. It was Ezekiel Elliott, his rookie year. That worked out pretty well. And Saquon Barkley, his rookie year. And that also worked out pretty well. I've got Bijan Robinson higher than both. I'm looking at what he's got potentially ahead of him. I've got him ranked all the way up as possibly the third overall player taken. I want to take Jefferson. I want to take Chase. And then I want to take Bijan Robinson because of this workload potentially that's in front of him with the offensive line that was so good running the football. So talk me off the ledge. How high are we drafting Bijan Robinson in redraft leagues in 2023, D?
I mean, I have nothing I can sit here and talk you off the ledge for, Joe.
Well, thanks
for
joining us, everybody. Fantasy Pros has been a great show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back again in a couple of days. No, but here's the thing. Like, people are going to say, and they're going to say, Joe's nuts, and that's fair. They're going to say, you know, how about Christian McCaffrey and this guy? Well, he's younger than everybody else. He doesn't have the injury history of a lot of these other guys, too. Mm-hmm. I understand the workload was a lot, but when I'm looking for a running back, I'm looking for young guys with a ton of carry volume who are the focal point of their offense. And we saw what Arthur Smith did before. So where realistically do you think coming out of the gate Bijan's going to be?
I mean, right now I have him at RB3 right now, and okay, I've got him as sixth overall for redoing my ranks. But I think if we come down to this, Joe, like, you can make a conversation for him to be the RB1 overall. I've got him at RB3. I think he's a first round lock. I think he's a top 7 or 6 pick lock. And this all comes down to, yes, the landing spot. Like, people, if you have a problem with the landing spot, I think you're really just getting too cute out of this. We know that Atlanta is going to give him a ton of volume. And if that's the case, since 2013, you've got all these running backs, all these rookies, talented guys that have finished with 250 or more touches. It's a sample of 16 guys. 93% of those have finished top 20 in the rookie season. 68% of them have finished as an RB1. So right now we're looking at Bijan as an RB1. I think he's locked into that. And now you add in an Atlanta Falcons offense that was top two in both neutral rushing rate and red zone. They led the NFL in red zone rushing rate, Joe. So even if people want to say, well, it's Desmond Ridder at quarterback, he's not great, he sucks, how often are they going to be in the red zone? When they are in the red zone, Bijan Robinson could literally be the guy that gets the touches almost every time, like 60 to 65% of the time. That's what we want, man.
Well, look, he's going to get receptions. He's going to get usage of the goal line. He's going to get three downs. I mean, look, Tyler Algier is going to be around, I'm sure, and he's going to have some moments in there. But Erickson, there's no way he's not going to get 300 touches in this offense in year one. There's no way he is not going to. And I think that the idea we're talking about here is not if we want to draft Bijan, it's how high we're willing to go. And I'm of the mind, I was screaming from the hilltops a couple of years ago about what a dumb idea it was to move Clyde Edwards-Helaire up into the first round. And by the time we got to Labor Day, he was going as like the sixth guy overall. And that was just absurd because this is not that same kind of running back, not that same kind of situation. This is a special talent and a special spot here where he is the focal point. So how high up on your board is Bijan Robinson going into 2023? And I know we've got a lot of time, but I want your first take impact here because it feels like youth, health, expectations, volume, everything that we're looking for is all there in one dude, and his name is Bijan.
Look, I'm right there with you, Joe, when it comes to taking him after Jefferson and after Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you were so on the Jefferson number one overall last year, and you were right about that. So why am I going to go against the guy who just nails the top of drafts? So I'm going to go right there with you. I can't think of any reason why he's not going to finish as the RB1 overall yet with the youth, with the workload, with the efficiency that he has in this offense. I think that it's like, what he might get hurt because he's a running back. Is that like the main concern? Well, okay, then I will take that concern if I can get him as the sixth or seventh overall pick. I did an early best ball draft and I was picking at the 10th spot and he got picked ninth. And I was so angry that he didn't fall to me at nine. And I was like, I want to trade out of 10. Can I do that? Can I just trade now out of 10 overall? And that was him falling to 9 overall. I don't think we're talking about him even in close to being available at 9 overall when, you know, September, August, when that rolls around, like, he's not going to be available. He's going to be going in the top 5 in every single redraft league, regardless of format. So for me, he's my RB1. And I think that's going to become more consensus and more of a actual take as we get closer to the season, because people are just going to realize, like, where are you trying to find holes to poke into his game? There's not that many. So for me, yeah, I'm right there with you, Joe.
The only hole is experience. And you know what?
It's overrated.
Go look at Ezekiel Elliott's rookie season. Go look at Saquon's rookie season. Good situation. And look, Saquon didn't exactly get dropped into the greatest offense on the planet. But you know, last time I checked, he was pretty damn good. And you want these guys at the front end of their careers. Like, that's the whole point that we're trying to make here, I think, on the show, is this is the time to strike while the iron is hot. And he is a special talent. He's not one of these guys that's going to get overhyped and he doesn't deserve it. He deserves all of it. And Erickson, you bring up a fantastic point about the early value. And, you know, we've got things going on here, like the Fantasy Pros Championship, right? Like, that is a huge opportunity to go and draft early in the Fantasy Pros Championship that we're running, the FFPC event, where you could get early shares of Bijan Robinson at a discount. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, this is the contest we've got going on. Again, fantasypros.com/championship. We're giving away $6 million in prizes, including a $1 million grand prize. So free Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros subscriptions are also available. If you sign up now at fantasypros.com/championship, use that promo code FantasyPros, and you get $25 off your entry. And if you enter before June 1st and you draft before June 15th, you get an extra $35 early bird credit, which is fantastic. So again, it's a 12-team league situation. You get 12 regular season weeks, waiver wires, lineup decisions, no trading. But the top two seeds for each league, they move on to the playoff rounds. Then they get the championship round. The winner takes home $1 million. And I'll tell you what, man, I'd be in there right now drafting before June 1st, using that promo code Fantasy Pros to get $25 off the FFPC's Fantasy Pros Championship right now. Again, fantasypros.com/championship. Use that promo code Fantasy Pros. Now that we've got the Bijan conversation out of the way, and it's so nice that we're all on the same page. I like to argue, but, you know, I'm Italian. It's in my nature. But geez, man, this just feels like the right thing to do. And I'm glad we're all just starting off the gate like this. So let's talk about more running backs. D-Bro, let's go back to you. Give me your must-have guys for 2023 in the running back conversation that you're targeting from this rookie class?
That list is really short. I mean, you look at this rookie class outside of Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, everybody got kiboshed. Everybody landed somewhere where it was like, okay, well, that sucks. Okay, well, that sucks. I'm still personally trying to get over the Zach Charbonnet pain. So I'm still dealing and processing that right now. But I mean, I think this list is really short for me. It's Bijan or it's Roschon Johnson for me. And outside of that, I'm going to be lower on a lot of these rookie running backs. But Roschon, I think you're going to get a fantastic value. People are going to look at this Chicago backfield and say, but there's Khalil Herbert and Deontay Foreman. And it's like, okay, Deontay Foreman was brought in on a one-year, okay, safety deal. Khalil Herbert, the moment that they got rid of David Montgomery, Chicago Bears front office said, well, we didn't draft this guy. We don't have a lot of faith in him. We're going to add not only Foreman, but Roschon in the fourth round. And you look at what came out of Chicago, they're like, well, we're happy that Roschon was there in the fourth round. Heck, I'm happy for Chicago too, because now I could draft him as a discount. What looks like a muddy backfield, they threw draft capital behind this guy. And last year, if he'd have qualified with at least 100 carries, we're talking about a running back that was 11th in yards after contact per attempt, third in PFF elusive rate. They made additions to this offensive line. I think Roschon Johnson is going to be a fantastic value in redraft.
Fantastic value indeed. He's going to be cheap and somebody who hits wide receiver early and often, one of the RBs that I'm going to target and have on my roster. Just like I tried to have Khalil Herbert last year on all my rosters because I knew eventually we're going to get him.
Same thing with Roschon, baby.
Let's go, obviously, the no-brainer for you, too, Erickson, is Bijan, but let's go past Bijan. Who are the other running backs you're targeting right now, sort of must-have guys from this rookie class?
So, from redraft, I mean, the best landing spot, in my opinion, was A-Chain, Devon A-Chain from Texas A&M, landing on the Miami Dolphins. Look, the guy has track speed, and he's running that outside zone that is a one-step and go, and that's when you can see the guys, why we've seen so many players like a Raheem Mostert. I mean, he's Raheem Mostert, except 10 years younger. Like, that's what we're looking at with Devon Achane with the track speed. So I think he fits in very well with Miami. We'll see how things kind of shake out in terms of where he is in the depth chart. But I do think he's kind of worth in terms of, okay, could we see him being the lead in this backfield with Jeff Wilson, with Raheem Mostert? Yeah, I think that's very possible. Jahmyr Gibbs, for me, I think that the landing spot is good in the Detroit Lions. Yeah, they have David Montgomery there, but they also drafted Jahmyr Gibbs 12th overall. And I understand my biggest concern with Gibbs heading into the process was, you know, his weight and how much, what of a workload would he put on. But the thing that's kind of mitigating that for me is the fact that they did take him 12th overall draft capital.
And they did trade DeAndre Swift. So it's not like that looming concern is there too, of that same role.
Exactly. I mean, the way I look at it in like a simple form is, okay, I was taking DeAndre Swift in the second round last year and the Lions hated him. Now I can take a guy like DeAndre Swift in the second round, except they love him. They love him enough to take him 12th overall. So I think Gibbs, I don't know where his ADP is going to end up going, but I would probably take him third or fourth round and feel fine with that as a guy taking 12th overall.
Let's talk about the dynasty running back version. So the guys more long-term looking ahead, Erickson, who are those guys for you, their targets out of this rookie class?
So both of these guys were in my top five pre-draft. And because we kind of talked about how none of the landing spots were really great, I'm not really trying to go too far away from my pre-draft analysis. Because like if all the landing spots were bad, then you don't need to really move the players. So for me, it's Kendre Miller with the New Orleans Saints. He got good draft capital, drafted in the third round. Question marks with Alvin Kamara. Jamal Williams is a veteran. Look, he's a reliable player, but Kendre Miller, I think, adds explosiveness to the Saints backfield that I don't think Jamal Williams can offer. And from like a best ball perspective, let's say Alvin Kamara gets suspended on the back half of the second year of the second part of the season. Kendre Miller could have a big workload in the second half, which is obviously more important in the best ball format. And then Zach Charbonnet. Look, I get that, you know, D-Bro is super disappointed. I listened to him on the pod just when that pick went down. Him and Thor were just like, oh, it was absolutely terrible. And I've thought more. But as I've kind of gone through and thought about more, look, if he had gone to any other team with that draft cap that he got 52nd overall, we would be so thrilled about Zach Charbonnet. And I think it's really more of telling us about how the Seahawks feel about Kenneth Walker and not necessarily how we should be viewing Zach Charbonnet. It's clearly pegging Kenneth Walker as an incomplete product at the running back position. Like, okay, how good of a receiver is he really? How reliable is he on a down-to-down basis? Or the Seahawks viewing Kenneth Walker as, no, he's our home run hitting running back, like a Rashad Penny type player, whereas Zach Charbonnet is more of the Chris Carson type of player, where they're the one that wants to really give him a lot of volume versus a Penny, where, or versus a guy like Kenneth Walker, where he's the guy that can hit the home run. So Charbonnet, for me, I hope that he falls super far in drafts because he is super talented. He's a three down skill set. And Kenneth Walker, guys, he got hurt last year multiple times. If Zach Charbonnet takes over that bell cow role, if Kenneth Walker gets hurt, you're looking at a guy we're going to be ranking as a top 12 running back every single week. And if he's going to be at a discount, especially in Dynasty where you have these guys for their careers, look, the situation in Seattle is not forever. The backfield situation is not the same, but his draft capital is forever tied to him as a second round running back. And that's what I want to pay for in Dynasty, especially now that I'm seeing him fall into the second round of rookie drafts. Zach Charbonnet, like, I'm scooping that up all day.
I agree wholeheartedly. Just hope that the talent kind of wins out over time, or, you know, circumstances take care of themselves. D-Bro, I know your dynasty must-haves are the same guys as your redraft must-haves. I know you love Bijan and Roshan. Any of the guys from Texas, hook 'em horns. That's who you like. Give me a sleeper running back, though, potentially to watch in this class in fantasy as time goes on.
I got two for you, Joe. I mean, one, I think, is Tank Bigsby. We're talking about draft capital. He went in the third round. Now, again, are we enamored with a lot of these landing spots? No, but considering he is going to sit here and fall down a lot of different boards, redraft wise, people are still going to gravitate to ETN. And I'm actually worried about ETN a lot. I'm curious where, as I'm kind of going through my 2023 ranks, how I'm going to sit here and sift these guys out, because Tank Bigsby could easily be their goal line back. He is a mean, a nasty runner. He's got awesome leg drive. He can handle all this work inside the 20s. And the other thing about him is that, like, over two of the last three seasons, this guy's been top 15 in yards after contact per attempt and PFF elusive rating. So while he did fall a little bit, it's not a second round pick. Obviously didn't go in the first. Going in the third round gives him enough draft capital. This could be a split backfield, and he could be the favorite for goal line touches in week one. And I'm just going to stay on the train, baby. Evan Hull. We're talking about the capital and everything tied to these guys. And Erickson's talking about Charbonnet. If anything happens to Kenneth Walker, what if Jonathan Taylor goes out? If he misses any kind of time or anything, and we saw this last year, much less Shane Steichen has been in multiple places where they have run committee backfields. So while I love Jonathan Taylor, I think Evan Hull is going to be a premium handcuff. I'm not worried about Zach Moss. Zach Moss couldn't even stay on the original team that drafted him.
Not worried about Deion Jackson either. Not worried about those guys.
I'm not worried about him. He had one Christian McCaffrey-esque game because Matt Ryan.
What a glorious day of DFS 7 yards for me. What a glorious day. He will live in infamy for that day for me. But you make a good case there for Hull and Bigsby. Erickson, give me a couple of the sleeper guys for you at the running back position.
Yeah, two running backs that were taken very, very late into the draft. So first of Zach Moss.
Gotcha. Got him. All right, guys.
Zach Evans. D-Bro, I don't think that you're a fan of Zach Evans.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. That's
Rojo 2.0, baby.
That's what I thought. Rojo still had one season where he was pretty good. So Zach Evans for me on the Rams. I just don't think, look, Cam Akers is number one on the depth chart. They have nobody else on that depth chart. I think Zach Evans, when he gets the ball on the field, like, he's efficient on a per touch basis. So I like that spot. I think that if he were able to stumble into some workload, then I think he could be productive, even on a bad offense. And then the other guy is Dwayne McBride for the Minnesota Vikings, taken in the seventh round. Look, Alexander Mattison is slated to be the starting running back. If they get rid of Dalvin Cook, we still don't really know what's going on with Dalvin Cook. But McBride, as a two-down early grinder, I mean, if they end up moving on from Cook, you could see McBride overtaking Madison as the early down back for the Vikings, and Madison working more on passing downs. So I think McBride, just based on how good he was as a rusher at UAB, I think that he's really intriguing, especially with Dalvin Cook potentially on his way out.
I'm mad that Abanaconda went to the Jets. That was frustrating.
Behind and, in the fifth, and in the fifth round, too.
That was one of the kind
of draft capital is bad for most of these guys.
I know, but what are you going to do? All right, let's move on to the wide receivers here and talk about guys who can help us in redraft. Erickson, let's stay with you on this one. Who are the guys you think in 2023 from this rookie class can be useful?
Yeah, I think it's the top two guys that got taken first. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba on the Seahawks and Jordan Addison on the Minnesota Vikings. Both guys are going to be, you know, at best, maybe number two receivers on their team, number threes at least. And I think both can be really productive in offenses that we expect fireworks from. We're excited about the Seahawks offense. We're excited about this Vikings offense, especially with Jordan Addison, where he now gets to kind of profile and fit in as a not the featured weapon. That's kind of where he's been over the last couple of years at college. And now with Justin Jefferson on the other side, it's like Jordan Addison is going to get single looks all the time. And he's someone that can make big plays down the field. We've obviously seen receivers benefit a ton from having Justin Jefferson on the field with them, whether it be TJ Hawkinson, whether it be an aging Adam Thielen. Like, Adam Thielen was productive at like 32 years old because Justin Jefferson was helping him out. So I think Jordan Addison, I think, probably had the best landing spot out of all the receivers. I don't want to just totally not talk about JSN because of how talented he is in his own right. And I do think he can also be very productive in the Seahawks passing game.
Now, I know on Fantasy Pros, Tom Strachan did a mock there for best ball, and Addison was in the 16th round there. So if you're looking for some early value for that FFPC, listen to what Erickson's talking about, the 16th round. So, I mean, hey, again, go fantasypros.com, go check it out. Some best balls going on there. So, D-Bro, let's go to you. The guys in wide receiver class this year who can make an immediate impact, or who?
I'm really just going to sit here and zone in on Jordan Addison. I love all the points that Eric made. That what I'm going to add on top here is he's, I mean, come on, guys. Can we say he's a lock for like 110 to 120 targets in this offense? He's easily, I mean, all you have is Hawkinson. KJ Osborne is just a random
dude. I think that's
dude.
A lot. I think over a century, if they get rid of
the running backs, if they don't have Cook, like Cook soaks up targets, and if he's gone,
is it a lot inside of an offense that last year was fifth?
Well, I guess here's my answer.
Fourth in neutral passing,
considering what they lacked on defense last year and what they didn't do with defense this year in the draft. Okay, maybe you're selling me that. Oh,
they got Jay Ward. What are you talking about, Joe?
God, Lord. Oy. But yes, Addison's my dude here. He's being airdropped into a passing offense that's top five in literally everything I care about. Oh, and guess what? They were second in red zone passing rate. So you're talking about touchdowns. They're not going to Jefferson and Hawkinson. It's going to Addison, baby, especially if they move on from Dalvin Cook. So that's really the guy that stands out to me the most out of all these landing spots as far as from a redraft perspective, the guy that I can tie the most volume to in year one.
Is it crazy for me to say I think it's Quentin Johnson because none of the other receivers on his team could stay healthy? Because
that's true.
Doesn't Herbert be throwing the football? Just saying, I wouldn't sleep on that guy. Let's talk long-term, D-Bro. Dynasty version of these wide receivers. Who are the guys you're kind of making your priority targets?
So in Dynasty, JSN still my wide receiver one. Like, set, forget, easy. And this comes down to like why I'm not as high on redraft, because Dynasty, I think Tyler Lockett's gone. Bye-bye after this year. They can cut him and save almost $9 million against the cap. My biggest things about like where JSN's going to go in redraft versus Dynasty is what happens to the Seattle offense. Last year, they were top 13 in both pace and passing rate. With Zach Charbonnet landing there, do they go more run heavy? But I'm still willing to dive into the talent for JSN. The other guy I got to bring up here is Rashee Rice. And this is not just, okay, he went as high as he did. He went to Kansas City. I think he takes over the Juju Smith-Schuster role. And if you look at what he did last year, this comes down to Kansas City wants a guy that can beat zone coverage. That is Rashee Rice. He was second in PFF zone receiving grade, fourth in yards per route run against zone. Last year, he played on the perimeter about 82%. But if you go back to the previous season, 92% in the slot. So I think he is an inside-outside guy that could play both for Kansas City Chiefs. I think he could be the number two target behind Travis Kelce. If it's not Tony, not Sky Moore, could be Rashee Rice.
Well, Tony's never on the field. MVS is not long for this team. He's
no,
got
MVS,
1 year
I'm
left
just
on that
deal. Not in the equation.
Well, I'm just saying, well, I mean, look, you know, he's there for now. But if you're looking long-term,
maybe.
That's right. If you're looking ahead, I mean, all of a sudden you're going to have, like you said, Tony, even though he's never healthy, you're going to have Sky Moore, Justin Ross, maybe you may get him from the dead. You know, I don't know. Probably, I mean, he's working out. I don't know. He says he's healthy, but I don't know if that's possible, but it's a good point on Rashee Rice. All right. So Erickson, let's go get your dynasty take on these wide receivers. Who do you have?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much a lockstep with D-Row when it comes to Rashee Rice. The other two guys I wanted to mention, so I'll mention QJ, Quentin Johnston. Look, when I'm looking at it from a long-term perspective, from all these receivers that were taken in the first round, the four guys, which one of these receivers has a chance to be the number one target for a top five quarterback? That's Quentin Johnston.
See, that's my thought process and redraft for him, because that could get expedited because of the health of the age of Keenan Allen, the health of Mike Williams. We could see an expedition of that.
Right.
Mike Williams is gone this year, after this year. I'll throw that out there. He's gone.
He was gone last year. Just nobody told him. Sorry. Was that harsh?
For the throat.
It's
the
only
juggler,
May 1st, just, and I'm still harsh already. Boy.
But ahead, but I also want to like recognize that Johnston's profile himself doesn't necessarily mean, oh, he's going to come in and just hit the ground running from day one. Like, he still has a lot of things to his game that need refining, which is why I'm okay with maybe, okay, if I miss out on a redraft, I miss on a couple of these boom spike weeks. Okay, I'm okay with that. But in the long term, it's like, dude, if they don't, like, Allen's gone, Mike Williams is gone, Josh Palmer, we know he's just a Jag. Like, you could see Quentin Johnson said, all right, now he's the number one receiver for Justin Herbert, who threw for 5,000 yards last year, or something along those lines. So I really want to make sure that Johnston, if he's fallen too far in dynasty, if people don't like, oh, well, you know, he's behind, he's buried on the depth charts. Like, yeah, like for now, but that could change very, very quickly. And the other guy is one of the guys I loved pre-draft, Marvin Mims. He got second round draft capital. And from all the research that I've been doing kind of recently when it comes to these rookie receivers is you see the steep fall off after round two. So I know we kind of look at day two receivers kind of the same because it's easy to kind of group them together in a cluster. Just kind of it's convenient, you know, day two, round two and round three. But there's a stark gap in terms of production rookie years from round two receivers versus round three receivers. So the fact that he went in round two as Sean Payton's first pick for the Denver Broncos on a team that do they need wide receivers? I mean, not right now. No. So, yeah, I mean, Sutton's there. Judy's there. Tim Patrick's there. KJ Hamler, he's not really there anymore because he's hurt all the time. So I think, like, at worst, Mims is going to be the KJ Hamler of this offense. We've seen Russell Wilson with those moon balls. That's going to be Marvin Mims this season. So I think Marvin Mims, I moved him up to wide receiver five in my rookie rankings. Like, he's right behind the, so I have those first four first round wide receivers, and then Marvin Mims is number five for me.
All right. Yeah. I think you should get a t-shirt that says anyone but Jerry Jeudy. That's kind of, I feel like your MO when it comes to Denver guys.
No, I don't hate Jerry Jeudy.
I know. I'm just teasing. Give me your sleeper from this group, Erickson.
Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed was my big sleeper pre-draft. And I mean, I was shocked at how high the Green Bay Packers decided to take him, basically inside the top 50. So I was planning on him like trying to, you know, run the table for Jaden Reed as like a fourth round pick. Like, oh, like you still want to get this guy, like decent draft cap. I was like, oh man, like he went in round two. I think Jaden Reed's a really good pick here. I think that Romeo Doubs is done at this point. I think the Packers kind of showed you with all the guys they added. It's like, yeah, we have no necessarily. We have Christian Watson as our number one guy. And then it's basically that scene from the Joker in the Batman where they just have the pool sticks. So like, right, number two receivers, have at it. And I think that Jaden Reed, with his early season production at 18 years old, special teams ability, I think he's going to find his way onto the field sooner rather than later. And I think he's going to be the number two target for the Green Bay Packers.
That's a good callback to a very violent scene. Thank you, Erickson. That was great. That'll wake you up in the morning. Let's D-Bro, give me your must-have sleeper wide receivers from this group.
I'm going to go really deep with these two guys, fifth and sixth round picks. So strap in, buckle in, hold on tight. Puka Nacua, I've been talking about him, and this is not me staying in take lock, but going to Los Angeles Rams after Cooper Kupp, who are you worried about with targets? Oh, Tyler Higbee, Van Jefferson, Ben Skoranek.
Tutu Atwell.
No.
If he's not blown away by the wind.
He's gone. He's going to get carried away by a small tornado. Pew! Just gone. Puka Nacua could easily be the Robert Woods in this offense. And that's not to say, like, I'm not saying this being insane. Like, no, I didn't start day drinking. The thing about Puka Nacua,
I did, but that's fine. Well,
hey, it was a long weekend.
I mean, it's been a long weekend, guys. We got to sit here and deal somehow. But yeah, it was. With Puka Nacua, he excels versus man and zone coverage. Last year in yards per route run, 27th versus man, 5th versus zone. Also, if you look at I tweeted this out, the video of when they called Puka and the wide receivers coach, Sean McVay, everybody was totally geeking out. Just like, oh, Puka Nacua, how we're going to use you in this offense. His versatility in college, 39 carries, 357 rushing yards, 5 rushing scores. All those jet sweeps and stuff they used to do with Robert Woods are coming back, baby, and Puka's going to get them. So I got to bring him up. The other guy I got to mention here is A.T. Perry. Landing in New Orleans, I understand he went in the sixth round. This is also an organization. We were talking pre-show for organizations that hit on religiously late-round wide receivers. The Saints have a laundry list of guys they have hit on late in the draft. You can add A.T. Perry to that list. He excels versus man and zone. He had over 75 or higher PFF receiving grades versus both coverages last year. If Rashid Shaheed, who is an unrestricted free agent after this season, doesn't hit, doesn't fire, Michael Thomas is hurt, you're talking about a guy that could easily ascend and be the number two target behind Chris Olave. Yeah, and he's going to go in the third, fourth round. Heck, he might fall in some smaller leagues in Dynasty to the waiver wire. I'm going to have a lot of A.T. Perry.
All right. Remember, too, for those Dynasty League drafts, fantasypros.com/dynasty, we have that up there. It's free. You've got all the rookie analysis, the trade targets, the position primers, the Dynasty startup stuff, the rookie rankings. It's all there in the Fantasy Pros Dynasty kit. Again, fantasypros.com/dynasty. Go check it out. Join the Discord community too. Okay, I got a great Discord community, fantasypros.com/chat for the Dynasty leagues out there as well. So fantasypros.com/dynasty for that Dynasty kit that we offer at Fantasy Pros. It's free. Go check it out. Free stuff is great. Let's talk about tight ends here because we've got them to go and the quarterback position. Let's start with the QBs because they're, I think it's a narrower focus. So I think kind of like Bijan, we all think the same, which is, if you're going to spend a fourth overall pick on Anthony Richardson, he's going to play sooner than later. It's just a matter of what the offense looks like. So, D-Bro, that would be my guy this year. Is that your guy this year in redraft leagues too?
Easily my guy this year. Yeah. I've already moved him up with the assumption that he is going to start every game. I've got to make
wow. 10 you don't guys. Think you don't think Gardner gets like the first no. month? No. Okay.
He's Gardner's going to get the lip service. They're going to say, oh, you know, it's going to be a competition, yada, yada, yada. Nope. And then it's going to be preseason week three. Oh, yeah, Richardson, he's a starter.
Richardson's going to come out and just look like a monster in the preseason. And Shane Steichen's going to be like, let's put the C on your chest. Let's get you in the starter's chair. Let's go, baby. And this all comes down to the rushing. So I've got him at QB 10 in redraft right now, because if he starts every single game and he rushes, he is going to be a top 12 quarterback. Lock that in. Over the last 9 years, guys, we have 21 quarterbacks who have finished their season with at least 500 rushing yards and thrown for less than 4,000 passing yards. 85% of these guys have been QB1s in fantasy. So you can lock in Anthony Richardson as a top 12 quarterback. I'm here for it. He's my dude.
Then he's your number one dynasty guy, too, for the same reasoning, right?
Yep. Okay. The only other guy for quarterback situation for Dynasty I'll go with is C.J. Stroud right now. I mean, call me a hater on Bryce Young, but I have a tier gap there. C.J. Stroud.
I just wrote up Bryce Young for Black Book, and I mean, to me, I am concerned with the size. When you're the smallest quarterback in the league, it is concerning for a long-term investment. So Stroud doesn't have that same concern. And I like that Houston said, we're going to build our two foundations on offense and defense with these two guys. I thought that was very ballsy. I think they did a nice job there. Erickson, I assume Richardson is the guy for you in redraft and dynasty also.
Yeah, because the other top two guys have bad weapons. It's like how they have to make up so much ground versus Richardson, where it's like I would argue like the Colts receivers, Texans receivers, the Panthers receivers are all bad. I would actually argue the Colts have the best receiving room around him in terms of weaponry.
Agreed.
And that's not even factoring in. Oh, then he also has the rushing that's not even close to the other two quarterbacks. Taylor, right. So I think it's Richardson by a landslide. And then the other two are QB2s, I think, in a normal league. And I think they make a lot of sense in Superflex, where they're going to start games and there's upside just because of untapped potential. But for me, it's just Richardson. But from a dynasty perspective, like looking long term, I still like Hendon Hooker. Like I like Hendon Hooker. I like the fact that he landed on the Detroit Lions where he's not pressured to start. And look, I've seen enough of Jared Goff to know that once everybody's back in on Jared Goff, is the time to cut and run from Jared Goff. Because this happens all the time where it's like, oh my God, he's so good. And then he gets turned back into a pumpkin and then he sucks again. When defenses figure out what he's doing and they're like, oh, so it's just the coach is giving him this. It's like so much pump up about the offensive scheme that he is in. And once defenses figure him out, it's lights out for Jared Goff. So Hendon Hooker, yes, I understand he's coming off the ACL injury, but there's still stage he could play. If Jared Goff comes out struggling, there's big expectations for this Lions team to produce this year. And if he's not delivering, Hendon Hooker's healthy a month or two into the year, it's like, hey, let's get the rookie in here. Let's see if he can spark a flame in this offense.
I got the magic.
I agree with Erickson, though. Hang on a second. I agree with Erickson about Hooker, especially in the dynasty realm, because that is the perfect spot. You don't have to worry about him rushing with the injury. You don't have to, you can let him develop a little bit there and, you know, kind of get his reps back under him. And he's been dropped into an offense that has a ton of weaponry. So if you look 2 years from now, who is that quarterback? I mean, it's very well could be Hendon Hooker, who, you know, some people had a first round grade on. I disagree with that, but can he be proficient in this offense with those pieces around him? D, what do you think about Hooker and in this situation with Detroit?
I mean, I think the mobility is definitely a plus for him. I have age concerns. I have talent concerns with Hooker. But I mean, if the Detroit Lions want to win 15 games in his rookie season, I got the sauce, guys. You just start Jared Goff at home and you start Hendon Hooker on the road and you just win every game. I mean, how hard does this have to be?
Yes. Jared Goff is an indoor cat, everybody. Don't forget.
Dan Campbell just needs to come talk to me. It's all good.
Real quick. Do you have one? Do you have a sleeper quarterback? I know this wasn't the deepest quarterback class for that. Okay.
Nope. I have nobody.
Erickson, do you have a sleeper quarterback? To me, it's Stetson Bennett because he's going to play. I know one's going to laugh and roll their eyes.
Chad Kelly says hi.
Stetson Bennett has a lot of John Wolford to his game. So I think it fits right in with the Rams.
Stafford's not long for this league. And if he has more back issues, all of a sudden he's going to be dropped into this offense. And I would not be shocked.
I'm a draft capital snob. What can I say?
As you should be. I don't love him. I'm just saying, I'm just looking at who's going to get some reps.
Anybody after the second round of the NFL draft? Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Probably so.
For me, it would be Aiden O'Connell, Purdue quarterback drafted by the Raiders. Look, Raiders' current roster at quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's played 16 games one time in his entire career. Brian Hoyer is dog water.
Well, he's
I cannot stand watching Brian Hoyer at Patriots training camp year after year after year and him trying to be Tom Brady and just being so horrible at it every single time.
You know
what he is?
He's like, in Little League when you had
coach?
The coach, who would come in. If the kid walked two guys in a row, then the dad would come in and pitch. That's Brian Hoyer. I feel like that's about his range of things.
Simply put, the depth chart is easy for Aiden O'Connell to get up to number two core in the quarterback. Talked about him. He was really accurate. If you look at a lot of his advanced metrics, it's very reminiscent to that of a Brock Purdy. He's very accurate with the ball in his hand. So I think if Jimmy Garoppolo goes down, look, we saw this happen with Brock Purdy last year. Jimmy Garoppolo went down, and who came in at Brock Purdy? So I think Aiden O'Connell, if I had to make a bet on this year's Brock Purdy, it would be Aiden O'Connell.
Clip that for social media, somebody. Yeah, okay,
I like that.
Let's talk about the tight ends because this is a really good class. Dalton Kincaid feels like the one guy, whether it be dynasty or redraft. He landed with Josh Allen. He's kind of that hybrid guy. Derek, it feels like he's going to line up in the slot a lot. So whether they run 12 personnel, whether he's just in the slot, it hurts Khalil Shakir's future. I would think we could all agree on that if he's going to be out there taking those reps. So now it's just a matter of what the upside is for him. It feels like Josh Allen said, I'm tired of watching Travis Kelce. I want one of my own.
He took the words out of my mouth, Joe. I love that. I absolutely love that. Dalton Kincaid is my must-have in every format. Give me in best ball, redraft, dynasty, all those things. I love Dalton Kincaid. He got the capital. He's going to be their big slot. And the numbers from college line up. If you put Dalton Kincaid up against every FBS receiver with at least 20 slot targets, second, and this is receivers, mind you, not just the tight ends, receivers. Second in PFF slot receiving grade. He was third in yards per route run. If you stack him up against the tight ends, I love Dalton Kincaid. And yes, I think that the Buffalo Bills gave Josh Allen his Travis Kelce.
There you go. I said it first, though, so I'm the smarter guy. Erickson, Dalton Kincaid takes, and then let's get to another guy in Dynasty you might like.
Look, last year when Josh Allen targeted the slot, specifically looking at tight end Dawson Knox, he generated the highest passer rating when targeted. So it's an area of the field where Josh Allen, when he's targeting a tight end, has had a ton of success. So I think that's why the Bills were, there's no wide receiver we like here, but we need more offensive weapons for our quarterback. Right. So that's why we're going to go out and get the next best pass catcher.
I think it was a good evaluation. Yeah. Personally, I think it was a good evaluation. Who's the best pass catcher
4D
on the board?
Chess, baby.
Right. Who cares what position theoretically they play? Be the hybrid, be the mismatch. And you know what? If you're going to play, two games against the Jets and you have to worry about Sauce Gardner and guys like that, some of these corners aren't going to want to play inside. We know they only play in their one spot or only play on the outside. So why not try to own the middle of the field? I think it's great.
Yeah. So Dalton Kincaid for me, I don't disagree with him being ranked as a top 12 tight end in redraft. I mean, once you get outside the top guys, it's all kind of the same. So you might as well take a risk on some guy with untapped potential. He's an older prospect, which I think actually works in his advantage to hit the ground running faster. I don't think they're going to try to make him block. That's what Dawson Knox is for. He has that type of role in that offense. So Dalton Kincaid, I think I'm high on him. For Dynasty, I still like Michael Mayer. I know that he fell into the second round, but he's still a young, super productive tight end from Notre Dame. He still got really good draft capital from a tight end perspective. And look, I get that Dalton Kincaid is obviously now kind of cementing himself in a different tier because he went in round one. But it reminds me a lot of the Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth year, where we were all so hyped about Kyle Pitts, we kind of forgot about Pat Freiermuth in his own right. And I just don't want to forget about Michael Mayer on the Raiders, where he's competing with Austin Hooper and OJ Howard. Like, Michael Mayer is going to be the starting tight end from day one. I think he's going to be really productive in a Patriots offense, coming from the Raiders, obviously, with Josh McDaniels, that we've seen produce a lot of solid tight ends.
Good point there. All right, D-Bro, give me a dynasty tight end you got your eye on.
Sammy Ballgame, baby. I'm so here for Sam LaPorta. I'm going to draft him in every damn dynasty league I have, man. I love Sam LaPorta. And this all stacks up, guys. He's been top 20 in yards per route run and PFF receiving grade in each of the last 2 years. The guy played 20% of his snaps on the outside last year at Iowa. And where I think all this transitions, and you look at the elite, elite, elite tight ends in the NFL, what can they do? They all have this skill. It's beating man coverage. And Sam LaPorta did that last year in college with terrible quarterback play. The dude led all FBS tight ends in man coverage targets. He was also second in PFF receiving grade against man coverage amongst tight ends and third in yards per route run. So Sam LaPorta, I think, has elite upside. I'm going to grab him every single spot, every single place I can.
Do you have any sleeper tight ends you're looking at? Maybe long-term investment guys?
Yeah, I mean, so my sleeper guy is going to be Tucker Kraft. I know that Luke Musgrave got the higher draft capital out of the two of them. I think Musgrave is a giant, massive, extremely terrible bust in the NFL. I want nothing to do with Luke Musgrave. But Tucker Kraft, I think, is the guy who is going to show out and prove that, much like, okay, when the Baltimore Ravens, way back when, decided they were going to take Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, and Mark Andrews ended up being the much better tight end, I think it's a similar situation, guys. Tucker Kraft, I understand it's a small school and stuff. He was eighth in yards per route run, and this is stacking him up against FBS and FCS tight ends. He's a good run blocker. He could play on all three downs. My comp for him was Dallas Goedert, and I'm sticking to it.
You're the first negative Musgrave guy that I've heard in a while. So that's interesting. Erickson, what about you when you're looking deeper at tight end? Who do you see?
I'm lockstep with D-Bro. It's Derrickson approved with Tucker Kraft. I prefer Kraft over Musgrave as well. So if people want to just chase the draft capital with Musgrave, they took him first, then be my guest. I'll just take Tucker Kraft, who I think is the better prospect overall than Luke Musgrave. And then my other sleeper here is actually a guy that was actually a wide receiver at college and now drafted by the Miami Dolphins. Elijah Higgins is someone to keep tabs on, because when they announced him being drafted at the draft, they announced him as a tight end. So he's going to convert from wide receiver to tight end. And that's a big deal, because Miami, we were all pegging, oh, they're going to draft a tight end and they're going to draft a tight end. They didn't, except for Elijah Higgins in the fifth or sixth round. So look, it's a long shot for sure, but I've seen comparisons thrown out for him to Jordan Reed. And I'm the biggest Jordan Reed sucker ever. I think I took him in a dynasty league like so early on. And it was absolutely egregious. It was like my first dynasty startup. Took like the third round. It was like, oh yeah,
I remember my first beer.
So Elijah Higgins is my sleeper tight end. And just make sure, like, whatever platform you're drafting on, like, I don't know if he's like been officially moved to wide receiver or tight end yet, but just keep an eye on him, because he'll be there in the last round. You can just take a flyer with him.
I love the Higgins call here, Erickson. I love that. And I love the fact you brought up the tight end versatility, because coaches at the Senior Bowl had him working at tight end. And my comp for him, guys, and all the dynasty content was Juwan Johnson. I love that call.
If this wasn't enough talk on these rookies for you, and I know it wasn't, because that's why you're still watching and listening, make sure you head over to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Draft Kit. It's available. It's free. Premium subscribers get even more content, of course, but you can just check it out for nothing at fantasypros.com/dynasty. That way you can dominate all of your dynasty drafts. Also, don't forget, sign up today for the FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship. Visit fantasypros.com/championship and use that promo code FantasyPros for $25 off your entry. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.